You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a very warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast as ever. It is a pleasure to have your company as myself, Dave Kellner and Dave Tindall, a build up to the Players' Championship. Huge event on the PGA Tour this week, and we'll take a little look at the Commercial Bank Qatar Masters towards the end of the podcast as well. Dave Tindall joins me here to preview the action at Sawgrass. First of all, a warm welcome and good morning to you, Dave.
Hello, Dave. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm looking forward to the week, of course. The Players is also always exciting, and I can't wait for that. And we've had it since the year began, as far as the golf is concerned. It's just been tremendous, hasn't it, each and every week? And last week we had a little bit of everything. It was so entertaining, I thought. Bryson DeChambeau, the long drive champion, DeChambeau winning last week at the Arnold Palmer Invitational at Bay Hill. So entertaining, Dave. Say what you want about DeChambeau, but that moment on Saturday on 6, where he celebrated driving the ball. It wasn't on the green. He didn't aim for the green, but within 70 yards in the par 5, on the par 5-6, was superb, wasn't it, the way he just turned to the crowd?
Yeah, so if you're going to do it, you may as well ham it up and sort of flex your muscle and go, yeah, look at that. So, yeah, I thought it was a really fun moment. I think in the past I've been a bit critical of him in terms of, I don't know, he's a bit much, but it's good, isn't it, really? It's good to see this sort of character in the game doing this stuff. And obviously he's not just a novelty act because he goes on and wins the tournament.
Yeah, his iron play I thought was superb. Long iron play was brilliant throughout the week at Bay Hill last week. And I thought we got to mention Saturday. Saturday was the moment, wasn't it? It was an unbelievable day of golf because you had Jordan Spieth doing old school Jordan Spieth things on Saturday, hole in one, and started that round tremendously. And eventually, like, kind of tailed off on the Sunday. But he's clearly, if he's not back, he's almost back.
Yeah, I was at 3 top fives in the last 4 starts, and the other one was a top 15. So, yeah, there's something about his game, isn't there? He's got this kind of magic that he can just produce these highlight reel moments where he just can take himself to a higher plane, whether it's a chip in, a hole in one, a massive putt. Just things are going on, aren't they, when Jordan Spieth's on a bit of a roll. And it's fun to see him back. And I think after 4 straight good performances, I think it is fair to say he's back.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what he does this week at Sawgrass personally. And there were a couple of contentious moments, I thought, on over the week at Bay Hill. One involved Patrick Reed doing a little bit of gardening on Friday afternoon. And Bryson DeChambeau got a favourable drop, which was allowed by the rules official on 16 on Sunday as well, where he had to, I think he was always likely to 2-putt for par, but it made it potentially easier for him with the drop away from the sprinkler head. So a couple of contentious moments. And there's questions being raised about whether the rules officials are kind of not railroaded by the players, but intimidated perhaps by the players on occasion.
Yeah, what intimidated you about the 18-stone Bryson DeChambeau? The other issue was Lee Westwood, wasn't he? That drive at the last going into a divot. And normally I get a bit kind of, that's silly, why they should drop. But I think you're opening a can of worms, aren't you, if you start saying people can have drops from divots.
I just think it's part of the game, personally.
It'd be a disaster. Sure, there's an element of fairness, unfairness, but imagine the amount of rulings you'd be getting. Players going, oh, I think that's a divot. And, you know, people like maybe Patrick Reed or DeChambeau claiming something's a divot and what is a divot and what isn't.
Yeah, yeah.
We'd go on and on and on. If you're trying to rule out slow play, that it quite clearly isn't a way to do it by questioning divots. It's just part of golf. You're unlucky or you're lucky, and that's just one of the things you've got to accept.
I must admit, I enjoyed Lee Westwood on Sunday on six as well, where he was hamming it up with Bryson DeChambeau too, and it was just typical Westwood towards the end of that round, wasn't it? To make par on 16 after a wonderful drive straight down the middle, 150 into that green, you're thinking eagle or birdie, eagle to take the lead, birdie to tie, and ends up walking away with a par, and that kind of finished his chance, didn't it? I thought.
Yeah, he didn't quite get over the line. Is it 9 second places? I think he's got on the PGA Tour. So it's frustrating, but on the other hand, he's just won the. He's just become Europe's top golfer not so long back. He's banked a huge check. I mean, his long game stats were superb at Bay Hill. There's plenty to like if you Lee Westwood.
Let's talk about this week then, and focus, of course, on the Players' Championship. I'll spin you through the betting here with William Hill. We are top price guaranteed on the top 10. Plus, we are paying 9 places this week as well, which is superb. Dustin Johnson is 12-1 at the top of the betting. Bryson DeChambeau is 14s. Rory McIlroy is 16-1, John Rahm 16-1, Xander Schauffele is 20s, Justin Thomas 20-1, Colin Morikawa is 20-1, Patrick Cantlay and Webb Simpson both 22s, Tony Finau and Victor Hovland both 25s, 28-1 and bigger the rest. This is where it all started as far as the COVID suspension is concerned. There was an overwhelming thought, I remember this vividly last year, that this tournament shouldn't have started, but it did. Hideki Matsuyama fired an opening round 63 to lead on Thursday evening before the tour cancelled the event in what was a late but ultimately correct decision, Dave. And that means that Rory McIlroy is the defending champion. He won back in 2019. Best players in the world assembled. And it's a huge $15 million purse this week as well. And I cannot wait, in all honesty. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's a hard event to unpick to a certain extent, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's sort of got me thinking. That must mean I've not seen you for a year. Is that right?
That's it, I think. I think you were in the studio when we previewed the Players' Championship, and that was the last time.
Yeah, and I also remember asking you off air about Cheltenham, and you were thinking it was madness to go ahead. You were ahead of the curve with this, because I think I'd been to see Liverpool at Anfield like the day before.
That was unbelievable, wasn't it? Because you had all the Real Madrid supporters there as well, didn't you?
Atletico Madrid, sorry. That wasn't actually that one. That was the following day. I'd been to see them against Bournemouth a couple of days before. Okay. With that slight sort of feeling of, should I be doing this? But, you know, no one said otherwise. And a crowd of 45,000, 50,000 or whatever. But I must admit, on the Wednesday, someone offered me a ticket for the Atletico game, and I did think, that's an area where everyone's got it and is dying. I don't think this is the smartest move. And, you know, it's incredible now. We're still a year on, and we're still doing this over Skype. Strange. But, yeah, as you say, that this week it is difficult. I think one of the stats that shows how difficult it is, we've never had anyone defend the title in, was it 39 editions? Yeah, normally. You think of, like, Tiger winning Bay Hill 8 times and, you know, for example, take Bay Hill. I think he'd won it 3 times in a row twice. You'd seen other players win it twice in a row. Matt Every, Lauren Roberts, some strange ones. But this one, he goes through the top players' records and you'll find a bunch of miscuts as well as the sort of top 10. So it's definitely difficult.
Lots to talk about. First of all, a bit about the course. The stadium course at TPC Sawgrass hosts, as it has done throughout the years. It's a peat dye design that measures 7,189 yards on the scorecard. Traditionally, it was played in March before the move to May in the schedule. But this is, I think, definitely a better fit for the Players' Championship back in its traditional slot in March. But conditions are definitely different at this time of year. Maybe it plays into the hands of those that hit it a little bit longer, given that they can attack when conditions are of this nature. It's a little bit softer at this time of year compared to what the players faced in the May slot, where it was firmer and more fiery. I heard a lot of players talking about the huge differences of the March move. It was back in March 2 years ago, and easier around the greens perhaps, and more of a target golf course than it is in May. Generally speaking, the players think this is a more favourable position in the calendar for the Players' Championship. Have you got any take on that, Dave? Any view?
I did. I read Ben Coley's piece, and I think he made a good point. He said maybe the PGA Tour want the best players to win this more than they do. So yeah. I think maybe moving it back to March, I don't know whether that was the reason, but maybe moving it back to March and making it a bit easier. That's definitely, I mean, for example, Rory McIlroy, you'd rather back him in March on a softer course, wouldn't you, than a fiery one in May? And you could probably say that for quite a lot of the bigger hitters. So that could be an element of it. But you look at the form, some players just play it well whenever it seems to be held. You've seen players who were maybe top 10 back in May, and then they were top 10 again when it moved to March.
Yeah, and you look at that leaderboard back in 2019, Rory McIlroy won, but you had players in behind McIlroy who aren't bombers, who are plotters still. Jim Furyk was second, yep. Pepperell in third, Snedeker fifth, Brian Harman in eighth as well. So there are numerous examples where it's not just bombers that have come to the fore in that championship. And that's the first time it's been played in March for, is it about 15 years, I think? That's what makes, I think, this event so difficult, because you've seen players, highly ranked players, the world's best win at the stadium course at TPC Sawgrass, but you've also seen some really shock winners down the years as well.
Yeah, and maybe the other thing as well is, because it's before all the run of majors, maybe when it comes during them, do players slightly just take their foot off this one? Is it slightly lost in the muddle of it all? I much prefer this as a kind of scene setter for the rest of the majors. I think it makes it stand out more in its own right, rather than the sort of maelstrom of big events. So I can't wait for this week. I think it should be a fantastic one.
For those looking at the agronomy this week, it's Bermuda grass greens that have been overseeded with bent and poa, which makes them quite unique. They're really quick. Water is in play all over the place here, as is standard in a Florida track, really. Basically, there's a potential disaster lurking at every corner. Advanced forecast looks like we're going to get a nice week, a calm week, which the players will enjoy. And it's a tournament where trends have stood the test of time, really, as well, Dave. Pete Dye form usually stands up well here. So if you're looking for course correlations, maybe taking Harbour Town, the Heritage, the Travellers. There's a pretty nice link with the Wyndham as well here. And a recent decent performance has been a fair indicator towards success as well. What angles are you looking at this week with the players, Dave?
Yeah, I saw quite a few good judges who were talking about recent form and how, I think, is it 22nd? All the last 10 have been 22nd on their last start. I sort of drilled down a bit more location specific. Obviously, quite a few of those would have been in Florida, but I think the Florida form is even stronger than the recent form. I went through the list of the past winners here and what they did on their previous Florida start. So in 2013, Woods had won in Florida on his previous start. Day had won in Florida on his previous start. Webb Simpson had been eighth and fifth in his two latest runs in Florida. McIlroy had been sixth. Kuchar, 10th and eighth. KJ Choi, sixth. So if you've got a good recent run under your belt in Florida, that really does stand you in good stead, because obviously there's so many similarities. Bermuda grass, all that water, as you say, wind can be a factor as well. Florida courses maybe tend to be a bit flatter. So it's definitely a way of kind of honing down the field. Look at who's done well in these two recent Florida events. That's certainly an angle I've looked at.
I do like that angle. And I've got two selections for the Players' Championship. So without further ado, let's get stuck into the picks this week. We'll, of course, talk about the leading contenders as well. Dave, how many selections do you have?
I have three.
I'll let you lead off then.
Yes. There's so many you could put up, isn't there? But
that's the case, yeah.
Yes. And I can't have 20 picks, so I'm going to kind of pick one from kind of top end, top endish middle and a bit further down. So the one at the top end might surprise you a little bit, Tommy Fleetwood.
Okay. Yeah, not a massive shot because he has shown, I picked him a couple of weeks ago and then he performed well last week, didn't he? He just had that three put at a crucial moment on the front nine on Sunday, which he could never quite recover from.
Yeah, so he was 10th last week. So, you know, if we're looking at players who had a recent top 10 in Florida, Fleetwood immediately qualifies. And as you say, that but for that last fight, that closing round, which was 77. And people may say, oh, well, that's kind of typical Fleetwood. But, yeah, he did once shoot 63 in the final round of the US Open, to be fair. So 10th last week, which was a kind of kick on from 44th in the Workday Championship. He'd been decent in the desert before that, 7th, 17th, and 26th. Tommy Fleetwood, I like his stats last week. He was 8th in approach. I think that's important this week. Tidy around the greens. Not too bad with the putter. Positive numbers there. And, of course, the course form. So he's got last two starts here, 5th and 7th, Tommy Fleetwood. And, obviously, as I've said, they kind of bridge the two different dates of the event. So 7th in 2018 when it was held in May and then 5th last year in March. So he's been able to handle it in different conditions. But you just look at his Florida record, it's exceptional. Last seven starts, he's got 5 top tens in Florida. A couple of thirds, a fifth, a seventh, a tenth. Wind back a bit further, you've got another 4th at the Honda in 2018. So in America, Tommy Fleetwood, that's his best state, the Sunshine State of Florida. That's where he plays his most consistent golf. He's 35-1. That's 9 places on offer. So based on, if you're a little bit worried, he won't get over the line, you've got a good kind of leeway there, 9 each way places he can slot into. There's also this funny thing, isn't there, where somehow this would seem the event where you absolutely need that winning mentality, that proven winning mentality. And then you've got someone like Tim Clark, who was forever the nearly man, and then he won it. And there's a couple like that down the year. So maybe that kind of unlikely scenario that could suit Fleetwood. But 35-1, I just think he's building into form. He's not given everything away last week and been under the gun for absolutely all of it. And he'd had a bit of time off before that. Of all those at the front end of the bet, there's so many you can pick out at 20s, like Morikawa. I mean, if we've had Woods and Day win their previous Florida start, Morikawa would fit that bill. But yeah, I'm going to give Tommy a chance. I think Europeans do well in Florida, and he's definitely one of them who does. Slightly counterintuitive. That was the word I was trying to think of while I was waffling a bit there. in terms of, how can a non-winner suddenly win this massive event? But who knows? Maybe the strange dynamics can happen in golf.
Yeah, Tommy Fleetwood available at 35-1. I actually like the Englishman as my first selection here. Tyrrell Hatton, I think, is a massive price at 33s this week. I can understand why he is 33s, and I think people looking at his course form and thinking, and that's why the price is so big. But you're talking about the 7th ranked golfer in the world here, and he's way down the betting, like 20th in terms of the betting market this week. And I think it's just too big a price. And I feel that this is a course that should suit Hatton's game. And his recent form is a little bit hidden as well. He got behind early last week, but battled well to make the cut, moved up the board, and then the wheels came off a little bit on Sunday. But if you look at his ball striking last week, it was excellent, especially in rounds 2 and 3. He gained 10 strokes tee to green on the week, which was 3rd in the field behind only Bryson DeChambeau and Lee Westwood. Yet he only finished 21st because of the putting. We've seen volatile putting from Tyrrell Hatton recently, and a lot will reference that player's form, but his game has improved by such a significant margin in the last couple of years. I don't personally regard that as significant. He's won in Florida last year at the Arnold Palmer, opened up with a 69 here last year before the tournament was abandoned. And you look at his Pete Dye form as well. He's got some decent Pete Dye form. He's finished in the past, third at Harbour Town, seventh at East Lake, and his Florida form is there for all to see. I think he's a really big price this week, especially with the nine places on offer. And if he puts a little bit better on these greens, putted well on the greens on his first appearance, but not when he missed the cut on his two subsequent starts at TPC Sawgrass. I think 33-1 is a really nice price for Tyrrell Hatton this week.
Yeah, I agree. Just the very basic comparing of price and world ranking, and he's a big price, isn't it? That I don't know quite why he is that price. Had a disastrous first round last week, but it kind of shows where he is now, where he could fight back that and even get into contention where many would have just given that up as a bad job. So yeah, excellent player.
He is an excellent player, and I think he'll hopefully go well this week. I can understand why he's that price, because leaning on course form, but as course experience is has been a real factor at TPC Sawgrass down the years, but not necessarily decent tournament form, Dave. We've seen loads of players. If you have an off week here, it eats you up quickly, doesn't it, basically? You can miss the cut in a heartbeat.
Yeah, well, McIlroy missed his first three cuts here, didn't he? So he used to absolutely get under his skin. He couldn't work it out. Although I won't dwell on that point because I'm going to pick someone who hasn't played here.
Okay, I'm interested in this one then, because there were a few course debutants that came close for me, and there were a few that really stood out that are making their first start. We have seen a couple of course debutants win here in the past, but it's not a theme, is it?
No. When I say a debutant, or is he? Because this guy did play last year, and he shot 7-under in his opening round, Christian Buswedenhout.
Okay, that's a surprising one.
Well, is it though? Because, as I say, turned up here last year, shot 7-under 65 in his very first round at Sawgrass, so something clearly worked. They interviewed him after that, and they said, well, you know, you don't know the course. And he said, well, it played with Louis Oosthuizen in practice, and they'd given him all the kind of tips and the sight lines, and he just said that was a massive help. Mm-hmm. So he's a guy who is a quick learner, and he's one of the form players. He's still under the radar, really, Christian Buswedenhout. And he's starting to make his impact in America now. We obviously saw him win back-to-back in South Africa at the end of last year. Then he had a solid little run in the desert, a couple of top 15s. Then seventh last week at the Arnold Palmer Invitational, where he really, 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 really played well. 370s and a 73, very consistent. I mean, he's brilliant around the greens. Look at his short game last week, fourth in putting, eighth around the greens. Around the greens at the Workday Championship, he was seventh. He was first strokes gained around the greens in Saudi. So you are going to miss some of these greens, and he's expert at getting up and down and holding putts. I mean, fourth on the Bermuda greens at Bay Hill, as I said last week, really bodes well. He's also just got that temperament, hasn't he? That brilliant temperament that maybe Sawgrass throws a lot of people, and they get agitated because there's water around and you will get bogeys. But he just sort of surfs along kind of oblivious to it all. So it's not too much beyond that. Someone I kept an eye on at the end of last year, I've actually backed him anti-post for a couple of majors this year at 200-1 because I just thought that was a crazy price on probably the next big South African player. We've seen people like Els win a major young. We've seen Oosthuizen and Schwartzel win them young. Goosen won a couple. So they do just keep churning them out. And I think he's the next really big player to really get on big, big tournament leaderboards consistently. And I think the seventh last week is a real tip-off. So I thought 66-1 for what he's doing, that the way he can play, his record in Florida, which is 7th, 32nd, 18th. And just that, I can't really remember last year. Obviously, it's a bit kind of wiped from the memory banks. But to see him shoot 7-under, that was kind of, oh, right, that is the kind of the clincher really for me there. That, even though his bare record shows no starts here, he has played here and shot 7-under. That's got to help him. So 66-1 was Wiedenhout.
Which majors have you backed him for?
The US Open, just because I think that's the one where maybe you need the temperament. It's been a good one for South Africans. Els and Goosen have won it four times between them. What was the other one? Wasn't the Masters. Might have been the Open.
Yeah, I do like Christian Bezuidenhout. I just wonder whether Torrey Pines is the venue for him, just because it's such a long golf course with thick. I just see that as that's going to be just an absolute. Well, I think DeChambeau will go well at Torrey Pines. I just wonder whether he'd want a golf course that's a little bit shorter and a little bit more fiddly. I'm not sure. We'll see.
Maybe.
Like this week, like Sawgrass this week.
Well, I think this might be a more natural fit for him. But obviously, you go back to 2008 and you've got Rocco Mediate nearly beating Tiger Woods at Torrey Pines in the US Open. So, yeah, we'll see. But there's no way he should be 200s. I don't know what he is now. But in the same way, I think he's a little bit ahead of the handicapper for 66 to 1.
I'm going 125 to 1 for my...
My third is, and I reckon we'll have the same fella.
Oh, do you think so?
Yeah.
Possibly, yeah. Chris Kirk is my second selection, yeah.
Yep.
He's arguably in the form of his career at the moment, isn't he? After the struggles that he's had off the course. And he's clearly rededicated at the moment, and he's reaping the rewards. Finished second at the Sony, 16th at the Amex, 16th at Pebble. And your link here, 8th last week in Florida at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. I like the fact as well that the last two starts he's gained throughout the bag, so there's no weakness in his game at the moment. If you're looking for a course fit, he's one. I think I'd prefer a May date for Kirk, but we're here in March, and he's had 9 starts at the tournament, 1 missed cut and a withdrawal here. Really nice, consistent profile, 13th in 2014 and 2015 and 12th in 2017, 9 places, 125 to 1. I think that's a nice price.
Yeah, so beyond that basic form, he was actually the third round leader in 2015.
Okay.
Shot 70, 68, 68 to move to the front. Didn't get it done on the Sunday that year, but he shot 67 on the Sunday the previous year. As you say, he's had to battle. He's had the battle with the drink, hasn't he? And then he lost his card. So he's very much someone who's appreciating life and golf again and just, you know, rather than just another year on tour, he's had to sort of dip down and get a fresh perspective on everything. And he said at the Sony when he was second, one of the events he was really looking forward to was getting back to Sawgrass. You can see why it should suit him. As you say, I really like his numbers as well. Mm. Really good around the green. Everything you said, I think he's a big old price. One extra little detail. So you said about 8th at the Arnold Palmer last week. His previous start in Florida was a win. That was a Korn Ferry Tour win at the King and Bear Classic.
Nice.
Midsummer last year. So lots to like about Chris Kirk at that price. And this is definitely an event. Well, obviously, 9 places is excellent, but it's definitely an event where you can get some. You know, whereas, say, Augusta National, you've got maybe 10, 15 players. You're almost guaranteed you're going to fill up all them each-way slots. Excuse me. But here, you know, fine. Well, a few of these are going to miss the cut right at the front end of the market. Others will finish midfield. There's no guarantee that the best players will all gravitate towards the top end of the leaderboard. And there's some holes to fill. And I think at the prices, he's by far the best of those at 100 to 1 or more.
I agree. I think 125 to 1 is a fine price on Chris Kirk this week. Let's talk about some of the leading contenders then, Dave, towards the top of the betting. Dustin Johnson, the world's number one player, at 12 to 1. Do you think you're getting a price on DJ because of his most recent performance and his Florida form? Because you could have easily seen him going off a shorter price for this event, and he was just absolutely dreadful with the putter in the WGC Workday Championship, and that cost him every chance, but his iron play is still red hot.
Yeah, he lost 10 strokes with the putter, didn't he, there, which was pretty abysmal. He's another one who used to have a really ropey record at this course. I think in his first 7 or 8 visits, he didn't do anything better than 34th, but he started to get the hang of it, 12th, 17th, 5th the last 3 years. But, yeah, I can't say I was close to backing him. I think he'll be maybe thinking about Augusta a little bit further down the line as a course where he can absolutely win on, where here, like you say, you said before, if you're a little bit off, you're not just going to finish 12th. You're going to perhaps even miss the cut. So not for me.
John Rahm, disappointing with the putter in the WGC Workday as well, but solid off the tee in his recent start. 7th at the Tournament of Champions, the Farmers, 5th at the Genesis, but only 32nd on his latest start. There were signs that he'd just got the hang of the clubs and that he was going to win very soon, and he could well have won this event 2 years ago were it not for a bad decision on the back nine.
Yeah, it was brilliant, wasn't he, in round three that year, shot a 64. You could argue 16s is okay for John Rahm, I think, as an each-way price.
Yeah.
But I wasn't compelled to back him, I have to say. I mean, just on the numbers, he's got five of his last seven events, he would have landed that each-way money. But as we've said, Sawgrass is not just another place where you can roll up and knock out a top 10 kind of with your eyes closed. I think if he's, again, a little bit off. I mean, for example, he lost strokes on approach at the concession last time. And with the putter, a few doubts there to think he's absolutely on his game for me.
Of those guys then under 20-1, how would you rank them? Dustin Johnson 12-1, Bryson DeChambeau 14s, Rory McIlroy 16s, John Rahm 16-1.
Ooh, that's a tough one. I'd almost prefer if you'd widen that out to the top 10 in the betting.
I was just about to do that, to be honest. Yeah,
if I was picking two from the top 10, I don't think any of those four would be in it.
No, I agree. My two from the top 10 would be Patrick Cantlay and Webb Simpson at 22-1, respectively. But I think Simpson's been quite well found in the market. I prefer, if I had one from the top 10, it would definitely be Patrick Cantlay for me at 22-1.
Yeah, I think I'd go Morikawa. Again, I just think his iron play is sensational. That will take him a long way here. Did he play?
Yeah, he shot an opening round of 4 under par.
I thought he'd done okay when he had his first look. Obviously asking a lot for him to win again, but as I've said, players with that good recent Florida form, it counts for plenty. Yeah, Cantlay as well, I like. And Webb Simpson. I'm not too dismayed by 22-1 on Webb Simpson.
I think
it's fair enough.
I just think those players around, just beside him in the betting, Cantlay, Morikawa and Thomas, San Schauffele, are better players than Webb Simpson. I'm just breaking it down.
I think they are better players, but on this course, I think he's a bit of a different animal.
Yeah. What do you make to Victor Hovland this week? Because he looked like he was coming through with a run, and we knew it had to end at some point, didn't we? I just wonder whether he can get back on the horse quickly. And I don't think anyone's backing Victor Hovland this week at 25-1. I think he's going to be one of those towards the top of the betting that William Hill will want to win on Sunday.
Well, did you... I think I read it halfway last week. In an interview, someone said to him, oh, you've said before you don't like Florida courses. And he slightly balked at it and wanted to brush it under the carpet. So he might well have said that before.
Oh, that's interesting.
He's not quite a fan of them. Then it went into my mind as a kind of, oh, right.
A little red flag.
Yeah. Mm. And maybe, you know, he shot 77, 78 on the weekend after I read that as well. So that sort of further kind of, maybe think, oh, maybe he doesn't.
Who else do you want to mention then? There's quite a few that I had on my long short list here. Scotty Scheffler, who opened up with a 4 par round last year, he's getting his first official look at Sawgrass, given that that round has been erased from the record books. He's 35-1. You'll struggle to find anyone hitting it as well as him recently, Scotty Scheffler. I expect him to have a big week, and I think the move to March is definitely beneficial for Scheffler. He just drives the ball so well, and approach play has been good. Putting was good in the final round, in particular, in that WGC Workday Championship. So I thought Scotty Scheffler would go well.
Yeah, I did look at him, but 35s, he's that excited by that price?
Not overly excited by that price. I think he's a very talented player, and I think it's the right price, in all honesty.
Yeah, I think there was maybe a better course for him somewhere.
Yeah.
A bit further down, I looked at a couple of, well, seriously looked at them. You know, we had 10 picks on here or more. Billy Horschel at 70-1, which I'm sure you've put him up for this in recent years.
I have, because of how he's talked about loving TPC Sawgrass in the past, and this is a home course for him, isn't it? Does he ever? But he's got into this habit of throwing his putter in the air, hasn't he? Whenever he misses a putt, Billy Horschel, it goes like 15, 20 feet in the air, comes down, damages the greens. Yeah, I think 70-1 is okay on Horschel. There are others around him that I like. Abraham Anser, Max Homer's playing great golf at the moment. Sergio Garcia as well. So, yeah, he's in there with those guys, and I think that's correct.
Yeah, obviously Horschel was runner-up at the WGC in Florida a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Which was good. And because he was in contention all the way through, I think maybe that played a part in him missing the cut at Bay Hill, where he hasn't done brilliantly in the past anyway. Yeah, although it's his home course, he said he doesn't play it much outside of kind of this tournament because it's set up differently. I think that's thrown him in the past. I do like him this week, Billy Horschel. He gained 5 strokes with the putter at the workday in Florida, although you said he was chucking his putter a bit at Bay Hill. I still think 1 year he will have a huge week here. Mm. He's talking well. He's talking about his game. He reckons he's playing better than he did in 2004. Jason Cockruck, he is coming off a pair of top tens, which is good. You know, you talk about Scheffler. Cockruck drives the ball brilliantly as well, doesn't he?
He does, yeah.
Top 5 in his last 2 events for strokes gained off the tee. He's twice the price of Scheffler, and he's got a recent win. Cockruck, he won the CJ Cup, didn't he, at the back end of last year? The other thing with that, that was his first win anywhere for 9 years. He'd won twice on the what was then the web.com. But when he did win once on the web.com, then he quickly followed up with a second, and that second was also in Florida. So good part of the world for him, maybe. And he certainly got the form, if not the course form. Although, again, you look back to last year, he did quite well in that kind of one round that never was. So I think he could go well at 70s.
You know what? I think he's going to go well in the US Open, Jason Cockruck.
Yeah,
he's got some really solid form at Torrey Pines. Played the course really well this year. I didn't put well, and that slightly hides his form. But he has putted well on the Torrey Pines greens in the past. I think he'll go well at the. Well, we'll have to see what sort of form he's in, but he could be one you'd look at anti-post for the US Open, as far as I'm concerned. Jason Cockruck. Just a bit shorter in the betting. I just want to get your thoughts on Paul Casey as well, because he's just in sensational form, and he's hitting the ball brilliantly at the moment, Casey. His course form is, pretty woeful, really, isn't it? And it's a surprise to me as well. You'd think he'd have some good finishes here, because it's a course that you'd expect to suit him, really.
Yeah, it's sort of fairly typical of some of the better players in that. You could spin it in a positive way. One way of looking at his form, you could say he's come top 25 in 2 of his last 3 appearances here.
That's true.
And if you just frame it as that and ignore the rest, or you could even then add, well, he was 10th on debut, he was top 15 in 2009. There's some smatterings of course form, but he seems to be playing well wherever he tees it up at the minute. Last 5 starts, 10th, 5th, 12th, 1st, 8th. And although you said he's striking it well, he's sort of the opinion that he could be striking it better. He's saying he's scoring well, and he's just, you know, maybe his misses aren't as bad.
There's a touch of the Bryson DeChambeau's about him, though, isn't there, in that respect? Like when Bryson was asked how he said he won last week with his C game.
Yeah.
Which is
a bit sort of, whoa.
Yeah, I just don't buy any of that, because we saw statistically that it wasn't Bryson's C game last week, and that's how I feel to a certain extent with Casey.
Yeah, I mean, Casey, to be fair, lost strokes off the tee at Bay Hill. when Tenso, as someone who drives the ball really well, for him was probably a little bit disappointing. But he was seventh tee to green, seventh in approach, so lots to like about him. You've kind of looked ahead to majors. I like Casey for the Masters, I think.
Okay.
In some form. That's interesting. He's got loads of good form there. Loves that course. Certainly is an each-way play.
Shall we move on to the Qatar Masters? I know we've done a little bit extra on the Players' Championship, but it is a huge event this week. Shall we have a quick word on the Qatar Masters?
Yeah, so everyone looking at golf this week spends hours looking at Sawgrass and then they realise Qatar's on and think, all right, I'll just back George Cutsey and leave it at that. That's what I've done anyway.
The betting headed by Thomas Peters this week, 18-1. Thomas Dietrich is 20s. Antoine Rosner in the betting at 22-1. Matthias Schwab is 22-1. Andy Sullivan, 25. George Kutsaya, 25. Rasmus Højgaard is 28-1, along with Adrian Aus. Kurt Kitayama is 30s. Laurie Kanter and Kalle Samoya are both 33s, along with Aaron Rai. Sean Crocker, 35s, with Juus Lauten, 40-1 and bigger the rest. I'll just give you a quick bit of course detail before we get to hear why Dave's gone with George Kutsaya this week. The Qatar Masters is being played at the Jose Maria Alathabal designed Education City, pretty similar to the rest of the courses in this part of the world. It's a par 71, measures just over 7,300 yards, pretty standard exposed desert venue. The course actually only opened a few years ago, hosted the tournament last year, which was won by Jorge Campillo. A strong emphasis on short game, but that's such a small sample size, just 1 year's course form. Pretty open off the tee. I'll just be focusing on strong desert form personally, Dave.
Yeah, well, so I'll officially give my spiel on Kutsaya then.
Yep.
Funnily enough, it came up as a friend suggestion on Facebook the other day, like in the number one slot.
Wow.
Along with a load of sort of ex-work colleagues that I have no interest in befriending.
Maybe he's been searching you on Facebook, Dave.
Well, you wonder how the algorithm works. I'm friends with Jaakko Aall, as I might have said before.
Yeah.
Through, I met him once at the Open. George Kutsaya is a Liverpool fan, friends with Jaakko Aall. Is that enough to make him number one in
definitely.
My
Definitely. It's all coming together now, isn't it?
Yeah.
You buried the lead to a certain extent there, Dave.
I thought it might be useful to befriend him specifically for this week, because obviously no one's played in Europe for weeks, just to see what he's been up to. As we speak, I'm fairly sure he's actively rejected my request, or he's mulling it over. So if you're listening, George, come on.
We want to know how you're playing this week. Yeah. Why have you gone for him to win this event?
To know you're doing well in your life.
Of course.
Yeah, Howard. Well, seventh here when it was played for the only time at Education City. Runner-up the year before, eighth the year before that, 10th in his last start at the Saudi International, loads of good desert form, knows how to win, 25-1, Bob's your uncle.
There you go. I'm going with Laurie Kanter. He's one of the class acts in the field as far as I'm concerned. Hopefully he can take advantage of the drop in class. Any player that's finished tied fifth and tied fourth in two top desert events, the DP World Tour Championship and the Dubai Desert Classic on two of his last five starts, warrants, I believe, the utmost respect here. Much to like about his recent performance in the WGC Workday Championship as well. He finished down the field in the end at concession, but that doesn't tell the full story. His long game was superb, almost dead last in putting for the week. If he improves in that area, he'd have had a much more decent finish and would be much shorter in the betting. I really like his chance this week. So Laurie Kanter at 33-1, my play in the Qatar Masters.
Jolly good, yeah. As I say, that I didn't really give it much else of a look, to be honest. Obviously, yeah, you've got the two Belgian Thomases naturally at the top two in the betting, but they disappoint an awful lot for me.
It's very much a wait and see what happens this week, isn't it? We've had 5 weeks off the tour, and a lot of these players will be either rusty or we won't have known how they've been playing in the interim. So it's a week where the main focus will be on the Players' Championship, and that's right as well, because it's a huge event. Do you want to recap? Go on, Dev.
Just one final thing. We think no one's played for weeks. They did actually hold a South African Sunshine Tour event last week, the Kit Kat Group Pro-Am.
Nice.
I presume that wasn't just a pro-am and they were playing for Kit Kats as a prize, but Dean Burmester finished runner-up. There's a bit of info.
That's interesting because he's 40-1 and he's got he's got a strong short game as well.
Yeah. Look at his stats from last week. He was at 100% scrambling.
Okay.
100%? Wow, that's pretty good, isn't it?
I'd take that with a pinch of salt, I think, as well.
Really? he shook some rust off and actually played well, so that's something to look at. Yes, that's for my bets this week. I'll go a point each way on all four. So in the Players' Championship, that's Tommy Fleetwood at 35s, Christian Buswedenhout at 66s, and Chris Kirk at 125s. And then in Qatar, I'd say at 25s.
Yeah, I'll go a point each way on Tyrrell Hatton at 33-1, and I'll play half a point each way on Chris Kirk at 125-1, and a full point each way on Laurie Cantor this week at 33-1. Dave, I enjoyed that.
Yeah, all good. Looking forward to this.
Yeah, I can't wait. It should be a cracking event, the Players' Championship. Check out all the betting at williamhill.com and on the app. And don't forget, here at William Hill, we are top price guaranteed on the top 10. Plus, we are paying 9 places each way for the Players' Championship. You can follow myself and Dave on Twitter if you wish to do that. At D Kellner is my Twitter handle. Dave's is at Dave Tindall Golf. Drop us a line if you have any thoughts on this week's events. Hopefully, you've enjoyed the podcast. And myself and Dave will be back next week. If you're having a bet on the golf this week, the very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.